Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so last night I'm laying in bed and I'm just thinking, you know, like, what are we going to talk about today? Like, just other things that we could talk about. And one of the things that popped into my mind was Game 7, obviously, right? How do you think those players slept last night? Guys on Boston might have been a little more, I don't want to say relaxed, but I'm lying there and I'm just thinking, I don't know that I could go to sleep. And I'm thinking about every player last night. Like, how's this guy feeling? How's this guy? And you think about a guy like Marchand and Bergeron.
How many players
have won?
Are on both sides?
Well, 40 will dress. 40 will play, and there's probably about 50.
Over-under.
Over-under what?
Over-under.
Oh, Riverboat Casino right off the bat. Let's get it going.
25 of the 40 players took an Ambien last night.
I'm going to say over, and I'll tell you why. Because all 20 of them on St. Louis did, because none of them have ever been here before. And I'd say probably half the Boston team, because half of them haven't been here before. So I'd say about 30 guys probably.
Yeah.
Had a sleeping aid of sorts.
Yeah, at this point in time, I mean, sleep is crucial. You need to make sure that you're sharp and that you have a good night's rest. And I just think with the overall nerves of these guys and what they're going to be dealing with in the next 24 hours, I can't imagine what's going through their mind right now.
I'm with you. It's a Game 7 scenario in the Cup Final hasn't happened since, I believe, Detroit-Pittsburgh. And that was when Pittsburgh won, I believe. And then before, I just looked this up recently. And then before that,
did Boston not win a Game 7 in 2011 when they played Vancouver?
Because they were down 2-0 in that series, if I'm not mistaken. And then they came back, and I think they won 4 straight. I think they won in 6.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that. That would have been the last time it happened. But it was Game 7 in Vancouver. You're right. Nice call, Riv. Nice. Man, you are on top of it. If you're just tuning in on TV, check out what we have on our lids. Hats. Instigator hats. We're going to tweet them out. And let us know what you think, and if you want one, because they are unreal. And if you want the royal blue,
love it.
Absolutely royal blue love instigator the royal hats, blue. Unbelievable. We'll tweet those out. You can check them out at the Instigators on Twitter. He's at Craig Reveille 52. I'm at the Instigators.
See how I didn't take my tag off? Isn't that what the kids are doing now? They're leaving the tags on and stuff.
I don't know, but is that just because you're going to resell it and it won't be considered used? Is that why? There's resale value to that, probably, I would imagine. All right. Let's Jeff Skinner's press conference yesterday. Did you happen to catch that?
I did, yep.
Anything come out of there that was earth-shattering? I mean, you know, basically, he believes there's an opportunity to win here. With him signing here, 40 goals. We're going to need 40 goals, you know, mid-30s for sure. But, you know, with him signing here, he, you know, believes there's an opportunity to win. But nothing really came out of that. Very well spoken, very well dressed. I mean,
well, you should be.
72 million reasons. Well, why you should have a nice suit on?
Yeah. You know what? He's just articulate in the way that he speaks. He's very well spoken. He's got a nice look to him. He's got the young boyish look. He looks like he's 17 years old, and he looks like he should be in the draft in 2019. That's how young he is. But, you know, Jeff Skinner had a fantastic year last year. I loved listening to what he had to say about, you know, how the process and how he put things together, listening to his agent. Obviously, one of the biggest things was to allow things to play itself out. And what I mean by that is, you know, Phil Housley was relieved of his duties at the end of the season. They did not have a coach. Once they found their coach, there was some dialogue that that had been had with Ralph Krueger. You know, Jeff Skinner did his due diligence, made a few phone calls himself. There was a number of people that called him, and he started to realize that this Ralph Krueger man is a pretty special person, not just in hockey, but the way that, you know, what he's done in his life. And I think that was a big part of it. Waiting to see what coach they were going to bring in. Jason Botcher was going to bring in. I think he was very pleased with when he looked into things. And then to also know that, okay, the money is there, the coach is in place. And now I'm sure that Jason Botcher has sat down with Jeff Skinner to try and relay what his message and what he plans to do in
his vision
in the next coming months.
Is that before he signs, you think? Is that a conversation?
Yeah, I absolutely. Do you not think that Jeff Skinner's sitting there saying, okay, I'm going to sign here, but we're going to have the exact same team as what we had last year.
Right, but he doesn't. I agree with you. I agree with you. But Skinner doesn't have to worry about who he's going to play with. He has a guy he's going to play with. He know he can produce with Jack. So I like that those conversations take place. I like that a vision is sold. Because when a guy decides to sign, yeah, you know what? It's very easy to say he got $72 million and that's the only reason why he signed here. Well, but, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I believe that you're right. There had to have been a conversation. There had to have been some sort of vision, you know, kind of discussed about how to go about winning. Because he mentioned yesterday, I want to win.
Yeah.
There's a I don't want to say a stigma behind it, but I mean, you remember Olli Jokinen played like 800 or 900 games. He was a top pick in the league. Never made the playoffs. That was a knock on him.
800 or 900. I think he played over 1,000.
Oh yeah, but I mean, until he played his first playoff game.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there was a knock on him, and I believe Jeff Skinner wants to make the playoffs. I believe Jeff Skinner wants to win because you know, at the end of the day, it's nice to get paid for sure. But then what comes after that? Living up to the contract. And it's not just scoring goals. It's yeah. Winning.
Well, again, I think that Jeff Skinner has had a lot of questions that needed to be answered. The question of him signing and making $9 million a year, that is an issue that Jeff Skinner is going to deal with. He has his contract. Now it's for him to prepare himself individually so when he comes here at training camp in the start of the year that he is going to be ready to play. I don't have any issue or thought that Jeff Skinner won't be ready for the start of the season to give everything that he can to his team. I'm not worried about that, okay? I think Jeff Skinner is also looking at, okay, now that we have a head coach, what do you plan on doing with the roster? Do you plan on, you know, taking 3 more years for our guys to develop? Or are you going to look at trying to make this roster better so we can kind of continue to push forward? This is a great team that has been in a bit of a rebuild. We're being patient and allowing our players to develop. Guys like Olofsson, I remember hearing a lot about Olofsson, and people were asking at the end of the year, why was Victor Olofsson not starting with the team from the beginning? And the reality is, he wouldn't have been the same player. He took a full year to develop his body, develop his mind, develop his game from Olympic size ice rink to now you're playing in a smaller box. And he is really, really developed himself. And it took a full year. I mean, Alex Nylander, when he got called up, he got an opportunity to play. I'll tell you, you can see the strides that Alex Nylander has made in his game.
Wouldn't it be great if he could step in and be ready to go this year?
Well, listen, we need one of these guys. We need one or two of these guys to really take a step forward. I know Jason Bottrell is a GM that is going to have a lot of lines out there. He's going to try and figure out pieces that he can bring in to possibly make this team better now and for the future.
How do you see that happening? Free agency, you know, he talked about more realistic ways to help your cap by doing it through trades.
If you're doing it through unrestricted free agency, I don't believe that Jason Bottrell, and I could be wrong, but I don't see Jason Bottrell going after a Matt Duchene. I don't believe that the price that we're going to have to pay is going to equal the player. Okay. But that being said, do you go out and get a player that can fit on our fourth line that is going to instantly help us with speed, some grit? Like, I don't know what he has in store, but if he's looking at making the team better, it might be through unrestricted free agency. It might be through maybe a third or fourth line guy.
Right. Okay. So I see what you're saying. So maybe you target the less expensive guys through unrestricted free agency, and you target the more expensive guys through trades. So if you're going to target the more expensive guys through trades, like maybe a second line center or another top six forward that has been reported in discussion, you got to trade something. You got to have something to give up. And before the show, we were talking about ranking the Sabres tradable assets, meaning guys that teams would call for. You know, like, and I don't want to say that Jason Bottrell needs to trade or should trade or has to trade or wants to trade.
Yeah.
I'm just saying guys on this, or pieces, I should say. Let's call it pieces because they're not all players. Some of them are picks. Pieces that can help you get those players, right? So so what Riv and I did before the show was, I mean, I don't know if you, did you put yours in order?
I did.
Yours are in, and how many did you get?
I have six.
So, like, if you have six guys, tradable assets.
I have six tradable assets
that you think teams would call and want. If
maybe I would say that some teams are certainly going to inquire about some of these assets. Some, I believe.
Who's number teams, one?
Risto. I think he, without question, he is the number one guy on our team that I believe could be traded. I think there would be a lot of interest in Rasmus Ristolainen because I believe that every single solitary team that is phoning for Rasmus realizes that he's a right-handed defenseman. He's 6'3". He's 220 pounds. He's a 40-point player the last 4 years. And people look at, what's the downside? Okay, well, there's areas in his game that we feel on our team is going to help Rasmus Ristolainen. So his minus 41 that he had last year for the Buffalo Sabres, I believe that teams are phoning saying he's not going to be minus 41 on our team. Things are going to change drastically for Rasmus Ristolainen because he's going to be on a better team with more structure, and we'll take him. We'll take him because he does everything that you want in a defenseman. He's physical. He can move the puck. He's he's a power play guy. He's a penalty killer. He's a huge minute eater. I mean, there's going to be a tremendous amount of teams making a phone call for Rasmus Ristolainen.
There's no question. Risto is the number one tradable asset that I think Jason Bottrell would really consider trading. Like, obviously, like, you're not trading Jack.
Let me tell you, if you're going to trade him, you better be getting a boatload.
That's the only way you do the deal.
Yep.
I mean, that's the only way you do the deal. Who's number two? What do you have number two?
Number two, and I do not like the idea of this at all, but the seventh overall pick this year. I believe that with what's in this draft currently right now, There is a lot of very, very good hockey players. Maybe not players that are going to jump into the lineup next year. I only think there's maybe two, possibly three tops that can play in the NHL next year. But whoever's taken at number seven next year, or this coming draft, is going to be a very, very good hockey player. I do believe that. I am
interested in not trading that, but at least hearing what that pick and maybe something else you have could get you. I mean, I don't know what kind of a deal's out there. I don't, but I'm not going to sit here and say, if I'm the general manager, that I'm not trading it. Did you see that Philadelphia has thrown their 11th pick on the on the table for a potential trade? Now, 11 isn't seven, but I mean, in a quote unquote deep draft from who said that? Was that Craig Button?
Yeah,
said that
on everybody said it. This is a pretty deep draft. You know, you look at from everybody knows who's going number one and two. Everybody knows who's going. We don't need to talk about it anymore. But number three to number 12, I mean, you don't know who's going where. And that's
well, you
the
you think
best
there's
going
to be a major surprise, and you think there's going to be a guy that goes.
I don't think it's a major surprise at all.
Really?
I believe that Chicago Blackhawks, who I think are picking number three, are going to be interested in two players. They're going to be interested in either Alex Turcotte, who I sent a video out. Duffer did a fantastic sit down with him, and he's just he's an incredible young man just by the way he speaks, and very interested in him with the way that he plays the game and who he's kind of comparing himself to. A lot of people say that he has a lot of Jonathan Toews type qualities to him,
who also went third overall.
Which I mean, it puts a huge smile on your face when you see that. But there's also the Bowen Byram, the defenseman from out west, who I think is a very, very talented hockey player, 6 foot one, 195 pounds, had 26 goals last year, 71 points in the W or the Western Hockey League. So I'm not sure who's going to go where. So it's just, I mean, there's going to just be so much trickle down effect. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens here.
Tell me who's on. We're two for two with our, we're ranking the Sabres most tradable assets coming into the draft. And that time leading up to the draft where rumors start. Who's number three on your list?
I have Jake McCabe. Jake McCabe is I think a very valuable defenseman. As much as he has dealt with a couple years with some injuries that he's had to deal with, I just think that when Jake McCabe is in our lineup, he adds what you want in a defenseman. He's a guy that skates well. He moves the puck well. He's got a physical presence to him. He loves to hit. I think he's got some leadership qualities in him. He is a depth defenseman that I believe can play in your top four. And I think that he will garner some interest. He's got, I think, one more year. He's got to sign a contract this year. But he's got, if he signs a one-year deal, then he'll be unrestricted after. So it'll be interesting to see what plans they have with Jake McCabe. He might be an asset that they might want to move.
Is, you know, we're talking leverage with players and stuff. I mean, does McCabe... Is it worthwhile for him, do you think, to risk? I mean, I always wonder, you know, why players don't risk. Like Sam Reinhart, for instance, you know, you take your 2-year deal, you're kind of, you know, the team's kind of saying go prove it, and he's saying, yeah. You know, and he accepts it. He's taking a little bit of a risk there. You know, with McCabe's track record, I guess, in terms of health, because a couple of years he's been dinged up, hasn't he?
Two years in a row.
You know, is it smart for him to risk it and take a 1-year deal, or do you try to lock?
Well, it's going to come down to you had mentioned Sam Reinhart, and the reason why Sam Reinhart didn't sign a longer term deal is because he felt his value was more. He wanted more money. I think I'm a better player than what you're offering right now. Jason Botterill made a good decision in saying, listen, I mean, if you think you're you know, a $6 million plus player, then you need to go out and show me. Because right now, with what you're showing me, you don't equate to a $6.5-7 million player. Sam Reinhart had a pretty solid season last year. He had, what, 69 points you know, 22 goals. He overall had a very strong season. A lot of pressure put on those big three guys with Skinner, Jack Eichel, and Sam Reinhart. They did a lot, 40% of the scoring last year on the team. Sam Reinhart played well. He's got another year left on his deal. It'll be interesting to see what Jason Botchel has in store, if he would like Sam to play out that last year, to see kind of where Sam Reinhart's going to go from there.
He's number three on my tradable assets.
Wow, Sam Reinhart.
Yeah, and it's not.
And what is your thought with that?
Well, I think if you're, I don't know. I honestly don't. I think my fear is that if it's Skinner, Jack, and Reinhart, and you have to pay Reinhart $6 million plus, and those three are a line, that's $25 or $26 million on just your top line. Just your top line. Now, you know, I don't know if with what you've said before, if you go out and sign a left winger, and maybe that would bump Skinner down, or you move Olofsson to the top line, but there's no guarantee that works. I don't know. It worries me to have $27 million or $26 million on your top line when you might be able to go and trade Reinhart for maybe two pieces for that price, and you know, maybe you. And I don't know what the denomination is. Is it $5 million in one player, two in the other? You know, you get a third liner and a second liner in the deal, and you add a little more depth. Well, it's not that I think he needs to trade him. It's not that I don't want him, and it's not that I don't think he can help make this team win, or he's not going to produce. It's guys. Remember, this is about guys that we think other teams would want. And he's a second overall pick, and he has 69 points, as you mentioned. He's been consistent with his statistics, so. That's the only reason why, and I'm not going to say no to trading.
The reality is, we're here to try and, you know, develop our team. We are looking to acquire more talent, more top six players. I just don't understand why you'd be looking at trading Sam Reinhart, because if you trade Sam Reinhart, who's a 23-year-old player, you know. I just don't know what you're getting, what the reasoning for that, unless you just don't want to pay Sam Reinhart the money that he's worth. He's played 4 years in this league, 42 points.
No, I will 47 I will struggle points, with a $7 million contract for Reinhart. I mean, I think like that's a lot of money, you know, I mean, and he keeps going the way he's going. And now that you have Skinner signed, and if things go the way you expect them to go. I mean, I don't expect that line to go backward. I expect them to go forward. I expect Jack to have more points this year. I expect Skinner to have more points. Maybe he doesn't have 40 goals. Maybe he doesn't get 41 goals, but he might get 34 goals and have 75 points.
Yeah.
You know, and I expect Reinhart's numbers to go up. So then if he goes up, he's in $7 million range. And I just, three players on your top line.
Well, I'll tell you this. He's pretty darn close to that now.
Yes, he is.
He had 69 points last year.
That's exactly
50 50 points the year before. If Sam continues to develop as a young hockey player, and he is still young, believe me, and he puts up 30 goals next year and 75 points, he's putting himself in a $7, $8 million range. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, he's produced. He's produced for actually a long time as a very young player coming into the league at 19 years old. He had 42 points. How many goals did he score? 23 in his first year?
Yeah, something like that.
Then he had 47 points. And then 2 years ago,
he
had 50 points.
You think I'm crazy for suggesting
that? He's been in the league for 4 years. He has three 20-goal seasons. Last year.
So did Tyler Ennis.
Last year, I think he has 65 points and 22 goals.
Now, remember, you have to keep into consideration here. And I do. I take all of this into consideration. There's a difference between how many points you get on a good team and how many points you get on a bad team. Simple as that.
You're taking the stance that Sam Reinhart's getting points because he's getting all the power play time, all the play time, and therefore he's going to get a lot of. So you're telling me if Sam wasn't on Tampa Bay Lightning and playing with, just for an example, Steve Stamkos and Palat. Not with Kucherov or Point. I'll put him on the next line with Stamkos and Plot.
Their other first line.
How many points do you think he's going to get with Stamkos and Plot?
Maybe 90.
you don't know. We don't know. All I know is he's going to be playing with two extremely good hockey players that are not only going to make him better. Sam is at a point in his career where he's now starting to make players around him better. And he is only going to get better. Sam's coming into right now, the best part of his career is going to be from the age 24 to 32. He's coming into it now. I'm happy that Sam is having success. Everybody has always been, you know, Jack Eichel. He's our guy. He's our money guy. And Sam Reinhart has been that guy that I feel has really developed into a really nice hockey player. He's good at both ends of the ice. He's a net front presence on the power play.
I just want to make one thing clear. If people are just tuning in, you are not suggesting trading Sam Reinhart. We are ranking the Sabres' most valuable trade assets. Yeah. And if anybody knows, when Sam Reinhart was absolutely awful 2 years ago, I was the only one, maybe in Western New York, that was defending him. I'm not talking about trading him.
Very true.
I'm just talking about what could you get? Is it an option? You have to look. Like Columbus, when they traded Johansson, I know they got Seth Jones. All I'm saying is there are pieces that are traded all the time that you're just kind of like, I can't believe they traded that guy. Yep. I can't believe that Taylor Hall was moved. You know, there are moves that happen where you look and you say, you know, like
he would not be. He would not be one that for me I would be looking to trade. I just would not be looking to trade Sam Wright. I just believe that he has some really good years ahead of him. I think he's still learning as a young hockey player. I really like him moving forward. So he wouldn't be a guy that I would have on my trade option. And that's, you know, my first three is Risto, the 7th overall pick, and McCabe. I don't like trading the 7th overall pick at all. I think that we'll be in a situation to probably get a pretty darn good player this year. My fourth, Rodriguez.
I'm talking about a team. Do you think a team is going to pick up and call Jason Botterill? No offense to Evan Rodriguez or Ivan Rodriguez, as Riff calls him. Like, no offense. But I don't believe a general manager is going to pick up and call and say, hey, what do you want for Rodriguez? I believe that would be a piece of...
I think you're wrong.
Throw it wrong.
And the reason why I say that is I think that when you watched last year this team play, Evan Rodriguez was a player that you seemed to... he stuck out in games. Whether you won or you lost, he seemed like he had bite in his game. He made plays... he's not an overly physical guy, but he skated well and he made some nice plays last year. And he's a very cost-effective player. He made $650,000 last year. This year, he's got to sign a contract. It's not like he's going to be, taking Botterill to the bank because he had, 9 goals and 20 points? That's just not enough for him to go in and start to kind of say, I want the big bucks.
Okay. He's going to be
a very cost-effective player, which I think teams are going to like that.
Just wonder where he slots. That's the next question for Rodriguez. I look forward to that when you see him, you know, when you sign him and you go back to your board, you try to figure out where he slots in. Is he a top six guy? Probably not. Is he a bottom six guy? Yeah, he might be, although, you know, you look at the bottom six teams on the bottom six players on the two teams in the finals and you feel like there's a similarity to them. To how they play. So, I don't know, it'll be interesting. I like him. He's a very skilled player, obviously, and he's shifty and unbelievable passer.
Some beautiful plays last year. He plays with speed.
That would slot in on Jack's line if you did end up having to trade a right winger.
No way.
No?
I mean, listen, I don't see Rodriguez as being a top six forward. And then when you look at the third line, for an example, you know, you have a Mittelstadt, you have possibly an Oposo, you have a Tage Thompson, you have a Connor Sheary. There's a lot of players that are going to be that third line type player. I don't see Rodriguez playing. I don't know where here's the thing. I mean, if Jason Botterill is looking to going out and making this team better and acquiring a centerman, a second line centerman and another top six forward, then now you have Skinner, Eichel, Reinhart, probably Olofsson. You have your top six forward that he acquires and your center. There's your top six. Well, then you have Mittelstadt, Thompson, Shiri, Kalaposu, who I think, and just in my opinion, that he shouldn't be on the fourth line. Last year, he played in the fourth line with Gergensen and Larsson. And don't get me wrong. Some nights, that line was probably one of our better ones, which is the problem to begin with. But I think Kalaposu needs to have an opportunity to be in a situation where he's going to play with top six forwards. You brought him here for $6 million. Don't put him on the sixth line, and then everybody's going to crap on him because he's not producing. That's just the way it is. I'd like to see Kalaposu at least have an opportunity to grab a top six role again, which will make our lineup deeper.
Riv is making some serious sense today. A lot of tweets coming in at Craig Reveille 52, at the Instigator 76, and coming up next at Jeremy Roenick. He joins us every Wednesday here on the Instigators, and we'll talk to him. Some ice crew issues in Beantown. Hey, did you hear about this?
No.
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Blues general manager Doug Armstrong laid into the ice crew, and because the ice wasn't ready for the Blues practice, so probably some games going on there, right? And one of the ice crew members fired something back. Like something like, "Who went to the bathroom in your Cheerios?" Ask JR about that. Is that normal Boston behavior?
Wow.
I'm going to guess yes. And we'll ask him when we return, because he's a Massachusetts boy. Instigators right here with Jeremy Roenick, WGR 550 and MSG.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know what that music means? He's on the line. Jeremy Roenick, what's happening, man?
Well, it's the last day of the season, and that is for certain. And that's a great thing as summer comes, but it's been an amazing playoffs, man. I'll tell you what, it's come down to a game seven for the Stanley Cup final. It's the perfect ending to what was a crazy playoff season, no question. Can you believe this is the first time that Boston has ever hosted a game seven in the Stanley Cup final? It's been, you know, original six. I thought that was pretty amazing.
I did not know that stat. Thank you for bringing that. Thanks for joining us today. That's Jeremy Roenick. That's all you brought to the table today. Hey, got a question for you.
That's by the way, that's a power start right there. That's a power start.
The history of the Boston Bruins game sevens and Stanley Cup finals, that's a power start?
Absolutely. I told you something you didn't know, and that should impress everybody.
I told Riff something he didn't know right before the break. You know what that was? He didn't know that Doug Armstrong and the ice crew at the Garden got into a little heated argument yesterday.
Really? I didn't know that either.
You didn't know that? So Blues GM Doug Armstrong just colorfully instructed the ice crew at TD Garden to get to work. Armstrong was a bit annoyed with the possibility of the Blues practice being delayed. Crew member, who peed in your Cheerios this morning? That was from Darren Dreger. How about that one?
A little behind-the-scenes gamesmanship, I guess, huh? Trying to get underneath the skin. And, hey, I know that the ice has been kind of suspect at the Garden for a couple of games. So, you know, maybe he was down close watching and, you know, doesn't want any funny business. But there's always some kind of funny business happening that's they're going to try to get under somebody's skin and come playoffs. And, you know, I think that might have been it. But good for him to make sure that he was down there and making sure he was on top.
Do you actually think that that's a game plan? Do you actually think that they're down there, like those guys are down there doing that?
No, but I think they don't care as much. I think that they're a little bit less, you know. If the Bruins are going on, I think they're going to be a little bit more meticulous. I mean, I know they're professionals that do their job, but, you know, do you think they care more or the same about St. Louis as they do about the Bruins? I don't know. Maybe there's something to it. Who knows?
I remember a story Jay McKee told me. He said they were playing Philly in the playoffs, and Bobby Clark had the lights shut off until practice time started. So McKee put on one of those hard helmets with the light on it, and he went flying around the ice. So all you could see were just two lights. There was another guy on the team. They were just flying around. And that was the games, too. You know, like normally in a regular season, game 53 of the regular season, the ice is open. You go on 15 minutes early, nobody cares, you know. Playoffs, they always try to ruffle feathers a little bit. I absolutely believe this is game drift.
Yeah, could be. Pretty poor. Like, I just think
game 7.
You've
never heard anything like that, guys? You never heard anything like this?
I remember in Toronto, and it wasn't with the team, but, you know, you're staying in a hotel. And at the time, we weren't using aliases on our or sometimes we were, but they found out through, you know, sources inside the hotel that, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, the people banging on my door, and the radio station is actually on. And they're sending guys to try to wake us up or do something like that. So I remember a guy about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning was knocking on my door. And I can hear him talking to the DJs on the phone. Oh, you know, I could hear him. He's moving, and he's wrestling around in there. What I was doing is filling up the garbage can with water, and I opened the door and threw water all over this whatever, you know,
jerk.
This radio.
Call him a jerk.
Yeah, wait, this radio guy. And then I closed the door, and I can hear him, you know, saying, "Oh my God, he threw a whole bucket of water on me," and all that stuff. And they were laughing so hard that they actually. The guy knocked on my door again and said, "JR, I know, you know, we're bothering you, but the guys loved you throwing water on me when you talked to him." I opened the door and I talked to the radio guy at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was pretty funny. So I don't know who got the best of that, but it was a good try by them, but it ended up backfiring on the intern that was knocking on my door.
The old reverse door leaner, eh?
Yeah. Exactly. I remember getting multiple calls on the road, and it happened, you know, all through the night, and until you basically got smart and put a do not disturb on your line, right?
We had all when the playoffs were going on here, I remember all the truck drivers driving by the Adams Mark were laying on the horns, and people were calling. I know that. We had, when we were in Philadelphia, same thing, like fire alarms were pulled, you know, middle of the night, 3 a.m.
Yep.
JR, would you say, am I stretching my comment when I say that I think this has been one of the most exciting finals we've seen in a long time?
I think it's been pretty entertaining, and for the fact that as physical as it has been, the fact that it's been pretty much one win for the Blues, one win for the Bruins, with the exception of four and five. I mean, it's been great goaltending performances by Tuukka Rask. I think it's been as good as I can remember, I think, being. But for it to come down to a game 7, you know that the series has got been pretty exciting, and I think tonight's game is going to be capped off with probably the most exciting game of the whole thing.
Do you think right now Tuukka Rask is the downright favorite for the Conn Smythe, win or lose?
Yes, 100%. He's been so good throughout the entire playoffs. If he's had one bad game, maybe I'm missing it. But without question, he has been the most dominant. He's been the most dominant in elimination games, and I would expect him again to have a big night tonight and win Conn Smythe. But if he does by chance lose a 2-1 game, he's going to win it. He's going to win it hands down anyway. So, yes, I do believe he wins, win or lose tonight.
You blew us off last week for a round of golf, which we always find appropriate. But we wanted to talk to you about broken jaws because you're no stranger to a broken jaw. Are you surprised that Chara played? And are you surprised how well he's been able to play with this broken jaw?
No, I'm not surprised, because I think Zdeno is, I still consider him old school. You know, he played in our era and played, the type of game that's always been a tough physical and has a pride and a respect for the game. Obviously, we know he's one of the best leaders that there has been in the game for a long time. And it's his jaw. Like I said, if you can breathe, then you can play. You're not using your face for anything but yelling and squawking. I played with it, 20 years ago, and found it a little bit, I think, a little scary, But once you get that first hit, you fall right back into it. So, you know, everybody says, "Oh, it's a you know, big pride thing." I think you would have done it. Riv would have done it.
But you don't need to get hit in the jaw. That jarring feeling when you hit, like, because just naturally you clench your jaw down. You know, when you're out there playing.
Would you rather get hit in the jaw and feel pain and feel all that stuff, or would you rather lift the Stanley Cup above your head? What would you rather do?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'll get back to that one.
You know what? Same thing. During the season, you're going to take your time. You're going to heal the jaw. But this is the Stanley Cup Finals. This is, I mean, how many players?
You thought there was no way he was playing.
I was very shocked when you know, he came back and played with the broken jaw, because, you know, obviously there's some pain to it. There's extreme discomfort. He can't even talk, and it's certainly not easy. I mean, I don't know how you play with a broken jaw. You get that hit again, you're going to be in extreme pain, but. At this point in time, I just don't think there's any choice. These guys are programmed.
There's no choice. There's no choice.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another outlook. Like, Chara's on the verge of being 42 years old. We don't know whether he is actually going to play again next year. So, with that being said, only Chara knows what this future has in front of him. And you know, he has lost a couple steps. I mean, you can tell he struggles a little bit out there at times. Still playing good hockey, but if this is his last year and his last opportunity, he thinks maybe to raise that cup, you play through anything that's not hampering you from getting from place to place. Jaw especially.
Better way to break your jaw, Chara's way, or cut across the middle and get taken out by Jeff Cordinal after burying one.
No. Well, how about getting a flying elbow by Darian Hatcher?
Oh, and then there was that one too. Yeah, we did a this or that option last week. We did, like, what's the better way to break your jaw?
I think what happened is for Char is better than what happened to me, because I broke mine in four different places, and I broke my finger less than a second before with a slash from Craig Lugwood. So. You know, I got two things within a matter of a second that happened to me at the same time.
How much of that, like, could that have been personal? I mean, it sounds like you took quite a beating that shift.
Well, I mean, I knocked Medano out the game before. So, yeah, it was definitely personal. It was in the paper that, you know, they were going to get me. You know, that retribution was coming to Roenick, and boy, it did.
Were you, like, when you heard that, what was your mindset going into a game like that?
Bring it on, bitches.
And you know what? I believe that, too. Who do you like tonight?
I like Boston. There's no way Boston loses this game tonight. I would be absolutely, absolutely shocked after the game they put together in Game 6. We've seen how they've played in elimination games. Tukarask's numbers in elimination games are minuscule. Just the leadership, the experience. I cannot see the Boston Bruins losing this game tonight.
Jeff Skinner, $72 million contract, signed it last Friday. So Sabres get their man signed. Thoughts on the deal?
I think they are going to pay for this one dearly.
You do?
Dearly. $9 million for 8 years for, you know, Jeff Skinner at his age. That's I know he had a big year, but they're gonna regret that one in about 3 or 4 years.
You signed a big contract. So what kind of numbers? When you sign a contract like this, this kind of money, this kind of term, what kind of pressure comes along with it? Is it pressure on yourself? Do you feel the outside pressure? And do you kind of set a kind of an average of what you'd like to do throughout the course of the contract, or is it 1 year at a time? And I'm a guy asking because I never, ever would have been able to sign a contract like this, so I don't know what the mindset is.
Well, it becomes pressure, and the pressure to obviously to be productive for the next 8 years. How old is Jeff Skinner now?
26.
26, 27. So, you know, through his 32, 33, he's got to put up some good numbers and stay healthy. And we know he's struggled at times to stay healthy. But, I mean, he's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. He had a great year in a contract year and got rewarded for it. So, for me, listen, good for him. If they're going to give him the money, way to go. I just think, I, again, 8 years, you know, averaging $9 million, that's going to – it's going to affect, you know, somebody else being signed later on down the line. And I just don't think he's going to be able to maintain those numbers for, you know, for more than a couple of years.
You made $9 million. How much would you make today, you think?
If I put up the numbers that I was putting up at my prime,
yeah, your 105 point year.
Yeah, I'd be up around $10 or $11 million. There's no question about it. I mean, it's a pretty simple math in terms of what's going on. But I always signed, the longest I ever signed for was 5 years. I never signed for more than a 5 year contract. I feel that you get longer than that, I think you put the team at jeopardy of losing opportunities to sign other guys. That's a long time to have to keep up the, you know, what you have to do and the production level. 5 years for me was suitable. I don't never agree with these 8 year deals.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're always going to look at deals like this when you're signing guys to big money. You're always going to have that doubt. Jeff Skinner this year was one of 13 players that scored 40 goals or more. He was a big part of the Buffalo Sabres. That line duo together with Jack Eichel, Skinner, and Reinhart scored 40% of all Buffalo's goals. I mean, we need Jeff Skinner. And you know what? I mean, it's a long contract. He's still only 26 years old. I think that there's a lot of players in this game that continue to have great years, even though they're in their mid-30s, early 30s. And I think that Jeff Skinner, with the way that he skates and the way that he plays the game, I think this contract's going to be okay. I really do believe that.
I'm gonna hope for it. Like, I hope the best, Jeff Skinner, because I really like him. I really do. I like him as a guy. I like him as a player. He's got grit. He's not afraid to go to those high traffic areas. He's got talent. I really hope it does. And I hope, like I said, you guys know how much I root for, you know, for the Buffalo Sabres. I think the fans deserve to have a team in the playoffs and get back there. I hope the offseason goes well for them. And, whatever problems that they may have internally and within the locker room, which there has been rumors going on around for the last couple of years, I hope that gets straightened out. I hope the new coach is great. And, next year becomes something positive rather than being negative.
Two more things for you. Do you see contract term being a CBA issue for the reasons that you just mentioned about teams and
100%.
Those last?
If not, then the owners and the GMs are absolutely crazy because they put themselves in this situation, by giving in to these player demands. You know, players are going to want certain things. The GMs are going to give it to them, and it becomes part of the system. And the only way that sometimes that you can get it out is through CBA. And, that could lead to another lockout. It could lead to a very extensive lockout. But until we see that, if I were them, I would definitely make that part of the discussion.
And I also, last thing, you were in huge favor, I understand, of the fans in Toronto cheering when KD got hurt.
I was not. Listen, and you guys know, respect of players, whether you're on your team or the other team, is really important. And I understand that, fans are fans. But, I mean, here's a guy who played hurt, came back, did what he did. He's one of the best players in the history of basketball. You know, there is something called class. And to applaud a guy getting hurt in a game is no class. And I didn't like it, and I'm sure a lot of other people didn't like it. And I really, really was happy that guys on both teams were really pretty much telling the fans to cut it out.
I'm going to go and defend our We the North fans, JR, and I'm going to say I don't believe they were cheering at KD getting hurt. I think they were cheering at their odds of winning going up when KD got hurt. Is that a better way? Does that make it more appropriate?
It does, and it just goes to show that they were wrong again because they ended up losing the game anyway. So I think he beat them the series, but still, that just wasn't a good. It wasn't a good couple minutes or a couple hours for Toronto.
Go Raptors! See you, JR.
I'm with you. Hey, listen, I'm with you. I want the Raptors to win too, big time. I'm sick of watching the same old team win out west. So, Sign everybody and win championship after championship. Let hey, this Leonard has been unbelievable. So I'd like to see them win.
Yeah, we're with you.
Absolutely.
Hey, and you know, you got Boston. We have. I'm taking St. Louis. They're bringing their fan on the road, so we're going to
listen, I owe you guys $100 for the Hawks not making it. I'll go double or nothing with you tonight.
Well, that's Riv's department.
Yeah, I'll go. Yep.
All right, Riverboat Casino. Straight up? Is it straight up, JR, or straight up hundo?
It's straight up hundo, buddy. Straight up hundo.
All right. So,
it's either two or even, baby.
All right.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Send the check in the mail. Good. 1 Bills Drive, Orchard Park, 14127. Take care, JR.
See you, boys.
All right. Later, more Instigators coming up. Jeremy Roenick every Wednesday, 10:30, right here on the Instigators. Paul Hamilton coming up next. We'll talk to him about tradable assets, most valuable tradable assets for the Sabres going into the offseason, the draft, and free agency. Coming up, Paul Hamilton, WGR 550 and MSG.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.